Shalom Aleichem, my name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. Our learning this evening is once again for a chinuchal Beis Yisrael. All of our brothers and sisters who are in need of refuahs and yeshuas and everything else to go along with that. So with that in mind, we'll begin with the Perek Tehillim. Shelamatlos Ezrima Yisrael. Again, Kodesh Baruch Hu should see fit to give everyone on all of our chinuchal bases, all of our brothers and sisters who are in suffering, the refuahs and yeshuas that they need. We think specifically about those in Eretz Yisrael who are suffering as a result of the ongoing milchama against Hamas, but really all of our brothers and sisters everywhere who are in need of it. If you're interested in sponsoring, please reach out to the team at 917-626-8306 or visit shareenjoyment.com. Additionally, all of my learning is Zecher Nishmas, Rabbi Mori Moshe David, Ben Yitzchak Isaac, Rabbi David Tetler. So this week's Parsha, as we know, is Parsha's Truma, and we'll delve right into it. We're going to take a look at the first Pasuk in the Parsha, first couple Pasuk in the Parsha, is Perek. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "Daber il bnei Yisrael, v'ikhuli truma me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhlu as trumasi." So speak to the bnei Yisrael, and that each of them shall set aside a selected contribution, a portion, a donation for me. You shall take the selected contributions for me from every man who feels generous. Now, just an interesting point that it says take from everyone who feels generous, but you should take from everyone who feels generous. So it's an interesting lushan that really it's a double lushan. Usually, when there's a double lushan, a repetition, it means something is more important or to be done more quickly. So just keep that in the back of our mind as we take a look a little bit further. So let's take a look at Rashi as we do. We will take a look first. The first Rashi on the Parsha is actually in Pasuk Beis. It says on the Ikhuli Truma that you shall take this that they shall set aside this contribution, the Truma, for me. So Rashi says means for my sake. That is in order to give kavod to me. It can't be understood that the meaning is which we generally use as in to me, implying that they were requested to give to Hashem, because after all, as we know, Hashem has everything and doesn't need anything given to him. Also, of course, Hashem doesn't have a physical corporeal body, so there's nothing to give, no one, so to speak, to give to. So a couple reasons for that. The next Rashi rather says Truma. So this means a hafrash, a separation, as Rashi says. That is, that they should separate from their money a free will contribution to me. So it's not as a korban, as an offering that was given. But it should be a really what they wanted to give to from themselves, that they should take a separation for Hashem, but set aside something that's not specifically decided upon or amount. As you know, there's no mention here about an amount of money or amount of anything, but just that it should be set aside to give to me. And again, that it's not an object to be taken, but that it should be separating some of their money, their truma, and they shall take the yichu and give the contribution to me. For that is again for my honor, for Hashem's honor. That's based on Rashi according to Mizrahi and the Gor Aryeh. Then the next Rashi says the yidvenu libo, who it feels generous. Yidvenu is in the same root as Rashi says of the word nedava, as a present. Which is an expression of goodwill, or as Rashi says, I don't speak old French, but a présent. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but présent, present sound pretty similar to me, at least the way I pronounce them in English, in my pronunciation. Then Rashi continues, Tichu es trumasi, you shall take the selected contribution. So Chazal teach in the Gemara in Yerushalmi in the Maseches Shkolim. It's the first Perek Shkolim that the three selected contributions are indicated here for the term truma is repeated three times here. Zeis truma, two of which are seemingly extra superfluous, since only the free will contribution for them is mentioned here, as the Mizrahi says. The Gerarie points out that it was necessary to indicate the other two obligatory contributions here as well, even though they're stated explicitly somewhere else, in order to indicate to one who is giving a free will contribution, again, it's from their presence, from your heart, a matana, if you will, that he has also to give from these other obligatory contributions, and therefore not give an extra large free will contribution. It shouldn't just be to give, oh, well, if I give so much now in this contribution, I don't have to give elsewhere. No, the other two are important. Those are required. This is extra. Okay, so again, back in the Rashi, that so one is, again, is a contribution, a beka per head. A beka is a type of a shekel, which forms the basis for that were made, as we saw in Parshas Pekudei. Another is the contribution for the altar, again a beka per head, which was used for the tzedakah boxes, if you will, the collection boxes. See the Tosfos in Maseches Kedushin, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Ibrahim Aschil Moilin Bechadatin, for more on that. But again, to buy from the money the communal offerings, the korbanos that were from the communal sacrifices, and another is the contribution for the Mishkan, for the dwelling, which was each one's personal contribution, his own personal donation. So again, that they're required for the korbanos, required for the purpose of well, the required amounts for the bases and for the korbanos, and then of course there's this option. It's not optional, but the amount isn't specified. We should just think of it that way. It's not exactly optional, but it's not in a specified amount, so it's from what comes from your heart. It's a better way to look at it. The personal donations, and so the 13 items that are mentioned in this area were all required either for the construction of the Mishkan, or for the Kohanim, for their garments, as we will see when you check carefully. So okay, now we'll so there's a lot to unpack in Rashi, but given the time already, I think we'll just go a little bit weiter. We're going to take a look in the Midrash. This is the fourth Midrash in the Parsha. Again, looking at the words in the second pasuk, vayichu li truma. So again, to take for let them take the portion for me. The Midrash says, Rabbi Brachia pasach lecha Hashem hagedul v'hagvura v'glimer ki chol b'shamayim uvar. So Rabbi Brachia opens up his discourse by citing another pasuk. Says, yours Hashem is greatness, is the strength, the splendor, triumph, the glory, even Shemayim v'aretz, heaven and earth. This is a pasuk in the Divrei Hayamim, it's a Perek Chaf Tes. So, in other words, you have everything, everything under the sun, heaven and earth. So, not just everything under the sun, even though it's okay, I don't get a tangent. Ata motze kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu l'ma'an. So what's meant by everything is in Shemayim on earth. You find that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created above in Shemayim, he created in parallel here below on earth. So the Midrash enumerates a number of examples of this principle. The Malan Zvul V'Arafel. So above there's an abode and a thick cloud for Hashem's dwelling, so to speak. Shenemar Urei Mezuvil Kochecho. As it says, look down from Shemayim and you see from your abode of Kedusha. This is a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. It's Perek Samech Gimel Pasuk Tes Vav. Arafil Umoshe Nigash El Arafil. And a thick cloud, it's written regarding Har Sinai. And when Moshe approached the thick cloud where HaKadosh Baruch was above, earlier in Sefer Shmos, Perek Sof, Pasuk Yud Ches. That The thick cloud is descended down from Shemayim to gather together with Hashem. So they have to go through the cloud. It's also written, this is a pasuk say for Eel, Perek Chaf Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel, that and can he judge through the thick cloud? Lamatan Azamar, Shlomo Hashem, Amar Lishkon Barafel. So too, below there is an abode and thick cloud for Hashem's dwelling, as is written regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Then Shlomo HaMelech, Hashem said that he should dwell in a thick cloud. This is the Sefer Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Beis. Uksiv Bano Benisi Beis Zavul Lach, as it's written further in Malachim Aleph, I have surely built a house on your abode. Lamalon Asrafim Omzim Mimalai. Regarding what's above, it's written Srafim are one of the types of angels standing above at the services. We see a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, it's Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. Lamatan Atse Shitim Omdin. And regarding the Mishkan, below on earth it's written, you shall make the planks in the Mishkan of Shitim, often translated as acacia wood, standing. So Chazal teach that in Maseches Yuma, it's a Perek, sorry, Daf. Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, I believe that they teach that the quality of the standing of Omdim standing attributed to the planks of the Mishkan indicates that they were eternally intact, though their present location right now, Bisman Hazeh, we have no idea where it is, but they are still extant, if you will. Just as an aside, there are those who think that perhaps they're hidden under the catacombs in the Vatican. I've heard from certain people who have, you can't really get into the catacombs, but certain people who have access, the people who have access, that they're not there. I don't know. I'm just making a statement that there are those who believe such things. It's an interesting concept, one way or the other, why they would be, why they wouldn't be, would they be honest one way or the other. I'm not getting into that debate, just making a statement that we know that there are certain things from the Mishkan that still exist, but that are missing. And so the where might they be? The planks, the acacia would be the Atishit, and they continue to stand wherever they are. They still exist. They're intact, wherever they might be. So just as the Malachim, the angels, are eternal, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu powers embodied by the Mishkan, that and its offerings, the pieces to it, they're also eternal. They're unending. This is based on the Yifat Torah. Back in the Midrash, it says Lemalan Kruvim, as it says, Hashem who dwells with the Kruvim, which are another type of Malachim, another type of angels. As this pasuk can say for Yeshaya, is Perek Lamed Zayin pasuk Tes Zayin Lematan v'hayu Kruvim. And so too here below on earth, there are Kruvim, where the Kruvim they stand in construction on top of the Aron Kodesh. The Chruvim shall be with wings spread above, etc. This again we see further in our parsha, pasuk Chaf. Lamalan v'ha'ofanim inisu l'masim. So in Shemayim above there are the ofanim, another type of malachim, type of angel, often thought of as a wheel, type of an angel. Described in the famous famous vision from Yechezkel about the heavenly chariot. There's a song, Ezekiel saw the wheel, if anybody's heard of it. It's not even a Jewish song, but again, people understand from Sefer Yechezkel. Okay, as Sefer Yechezkel says that it was the Ofanim were raised above facing them. You say for Yechezkel, Perek Al Pasuk Chaf. And the Midrash continues, Lamatan Umase Bahalfanum Umasa Oifin Hamarkava. Below here on earth, in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, there were wheels, the Ofanim, as it stated regarding the building of Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash. The workmanship of the wheels was like the workmanship of the wheel of the chariot. This is a Pasuk in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So here the chariot mention refers to the heavenly chariot described in Yechezkel, which Shlomo HaMelech, in his great wisdom, was aware of. This is based off of Rashi and the Radak. And so it says, behold, one ofan was in the land. This is again Pasuk and Sefer Yechezkel's Perek al Pasuk Tes Vav, that this is another proof that there is such a thing as an ofan, one of these types of malachim here on earth, as the Mefarshim on Yechezkel say, they who don't interpret the pasuk in this sense as well. Again, there's okay, I don't get into to a tangent. Lamalan Hashem Mehechal Kavshel in Shemayim above, that there's the Mishkan, there's a sanctuary, as it's written, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sanctuary of his Kedusha. This is a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. Lamatan Hechel Hashem. Below here on earth, there is a sanctuary. There's the Hechel Hashem, as we see in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes, etc. Lamal Machi Tzvakais Yididun Yidudin. In Shemayim above, Hashem has the legions of Hashem, which is another type of Malachim. They're called Malchei Tzvakais, the king of legions. They flee. Hashem is the Malchei Tzvakos, but Hula Tzvakos is another type of Malachim. Sorry, that's what I mean to say. It's a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. It's Perek Perek Samech Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel. That a reference to the Malachim of Gavriel and Michoel. This is who that's referring to. Midrash continues. Lamata Yatsu called Tzvakos Hashem, and so here below, who on earth there are legions serving him, as in all the legions of Hashem. That is all of Bnei Yisrael, the people of Israel. Hashem's servants here on earth are called his legions. Serving, and this is as it says, that all of his legions of Hashem left the land of Mitzrayim. This is again, it's the pasuk. In Sefer Shmos, earlier we had in Perek Yud Dal Yud Beis rather Pasuk Mem Aleph. Midrash continues. Lamala Nihi Rakia B'soicha Mayim. In heaven above, there's a firmament. There's the Rakia that serves as separation between the two sections, as it's written. A pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, let there be the Rakia, the firmament in the midst of the water, separating the waters above and the waters below. This again is a Sefer Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav. Lamatan Hivdivla Lachim. Here below, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, there is also a separation. This is the Parochus, the partition that separates for you between the holy and the Kadosh and the Kadosh Kedoshim, which we will see further on in the Parsha. It's a Perek Chaf Vav Pasuk. Lamed Gimel, Lamalan Kisei Hashem. Up in Shemayim, there is the Kisei Kavod, Kisei Hashem, the throne of Hashem, if you will, as it says, "I saw the Lord sitting on a high and a lofty throne." It's the pasuk in Sefer Yeshayah, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Lamatan Kisei Kavod Marom Mereshin Mak Mekoyim Mikadshenu. And here below, there is also a Kisei HaKavod, a throne of Hashem, which is the Mishkan, which is the Beis HaMikdash, as it says in the Pasuk and Sefer Yirmiyam, like the throne of glory, primevally exalted, is the place of our sanctuary. This is Sefer Yirmiyam, Perek, Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis. Lamalan Hayesh Mispar, Lagdula, sorry. In Shemayim, there above, Hashem has troops in his service. As it says, the pasuk in Sefer Iyov, is there a number for his troops? Sefer Iyov, Perek Chaf Hey Pasuk Gimel, that these troops refer to the stars or Malachim, either based on the Yifatayr or the Matsudas David, depending on which whether they're referring to stars or to Malachim. Lamatan Ushnei Anashim Sarei Gdudim, and here below on earth, there are also troops. As it says, the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Beis, the two men head up the troops were Saul Shaul HaMelech's son, Yonasan. This is Shmuel Beis Perek Dalet rather pasuk Beis. Unlike the other items on the list, this earthly example of troops does not relate to Avodas Hashem on earth through the Mishkan, through the Beis Hamikdash, through Yisrael, through Kohanim, etc. On the contrary, the pasuk cited here concerns two base men who were murdered, who murdered their master, Ish-bosheth ben Shaul, not Yonatan, son, Ish-bosheth rather, in his sleep, and were subsequently executed by David HaMelech for their treachery. The Mefarshim are puzzled by this line that it offers several explanations based on the Yemer Yosher. Perhaps the intent is to show that the people, the Bnei Yisrael, are called the Kodesh Baruch Hu's troops, since these two officers in the service of Shaul HaMelech are referred to as the heads of troops. As we've said previously, sometimes you can even learn something positive from something negative, and this perhaps, based again on the Imre Yosher's reading, is one of the explanations. Okay, back in the Midrash says, "Lamalan usfor hakuchavim." In Shemayim above, there are numerous stars, as it says, Pasuk and Sefer Breishis, that gaze now towards the Shemayim and count the stars. You're able to count them. Pasuk and Sefer Breishis is Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Hey. This is with regard to Hashem saying to Avram, count the stars, not Avram. Lamatan v'hinichem hayom kuchav v'yishmaim l'roiv. And below, on earth, there are innumerable stars. As it said, Hashem, your God, has multiplied you, as Pasuk and Sefer Dvarim. And behold, you are today like the stars of Shemayim in abundance. This is Sefer Dvarim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud. In this pasuk, Yisrael, our Hashem's servants, are compared to stars. Excuse me. Lamalan, the Hinaya Ish, Levush Habadim, above in Shemayim, as it says in the pasuk and Sefer Yechezkel, the Malachim are depicted as garbed in linen, as it says, just as the man is clothed in linen, brought back the answer, Sefer Yechezkel, Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph. This refers to the Melech Gavriel, according to the Radak on our pasuk in Yechezkel. Lematam, Ksoynes Bad Kodesh Yilbash. Below on earth, the Kohen Gadol is dressed in linen on Yom Kippur, as it says the pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, that he shall don the sacred linen tunic. Sefer Vayikra Perek Tes Zion pasuk Dalit. Lamalan Chayna Malach Hashem. In Shemayim, there are malachim, angels or messengers, as it stated, that the angel of Hashem encamped around his reverend ones and he rescues them. This is a pasuk and Sefer Tehillim, Perek Lamed Dalet, pasuk Ches. Lamatan Kiyam Malach Hashem Tzvakaisu. And below in Shemayim, there are malachim, namely the Kohanim, referred to as malachim, as it says, the pasuk and Sefer Malachi. From the lips of the Kohen should safeguard knowledge. For he is an agent of Malach of Hashem, master of legions. Sefer Malachi, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Lamalan b'malachim lakach me'al ha'mizbeach. There is a mizbeach, so to speak, above in Shemayim, as it says, the Pasuk and Sefer Yeshaya. One of the Seraphim flew me, and his hand was coal. He had taken it with the tongues from atop the mizbeach. Pasuk Sefer Yishayah, Perek Vav Pasuk Vav. Lamatan mizbeach adama tasali. And below here on earth, there's also the mizbeach, also that the altar on the mizbeach of earth you shall make for me. And this is earlier in Sefer Shmos, Perek Chav. Lamalan. Above in Shemayim, they're described as a tent, as it says, Pasuk and Sefer Yeshaya, once again, who spreads the Shemayim and stretches them out like a tent to dwell in. Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Mem, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Lamatan Matovu Alecha Yaakov. And here below, we see a Pasuk and Sefer Bamidbar, famous Pasuk and Sefer Midbar, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Dalet, it says, how goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, your dwelling places, O Yisrael. These tents and dwelling places referred to by Rishon, by Sheni, based off of a different midrash. Okay, we're going to take a brief pause here before going back in the midrash to say something I heard in the Nefesh Chaim. that's expands on the significance of the many parallels we've been drawing between Shemayim and Earth, between Earth and Heaven, the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan. Every part of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, every room, every storehouse, every vessel, all the kelim correspond to a different aspect of Shemayim. So it's written in the pasuk in Sefer Divrei HaYamim, Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Chaf Ches, that everything is in writing by the hand of Hashem, which He gave me understanding to know all the works of the plan. That is, all the designs, all dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash and the Kelim were divinely ordained to represent some aspect of the heavenly world, so to speak. For this reason, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it is prohibited to deviate from any of these designs. To do so would detract from the capacity of the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash to mirror the upper worlds. So too, the Midrash Tanchuma on Parshas Pekudei teaches that the construction of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash is comparable to the creation of the world, with each component of the Mishkan corresponding to another aspect of Earth. Therefore, it's written regarding Bezalel, who we read more about in Perek Lamed Aleph, and says, "And I have filled him with the spirits of Hashem, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge." Bezalel was endowed with these three attributes, which Hashem created the world with, as we see a pasuk can say for Mishlei, Perek Gimel. In this vein, the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph teaches that Bezalel knew how to combine the Hebrew letters through which the Shemayim and Arz were created. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says in Tiferes Shimshon, he elucidates the words of Nefesh HaChayim, clarifying the lesson from the Midrash. Hashem created the world to be a home in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, his presence, could reside within. With this purpose in mind, Hashem created two domains, the upper worlds and the lower world. Every object that's found in either the upper or lower world has to was created to contribute to this goal of mirroring them. It's not easy for our human minds to see the parallel between these two worlds. There's a lot in Chassidus, there's a lot in the Zohar. It's not easy for us to understand. Nonetheless, Chazal demonstrated that many similarities do in fact exist between these two domains. Rav Pinkus draws an analogy to a car and a tractor. Although they appear to be two very different machines, they are essentially the same. They contain the same main components. Both have an engine, both have brakes, the steering wheel, apparatus of some kind, and a gas pedal. They both serve similar purposes. They transport something or someone from one point to another. They also have their differences, of course, based on specific purpose for each one. For example, a car has smaller tires, which we drive on roads and on highways, whereas a tractor is equipped with the very big wheels to drive in farmland to help pull heavy farm equipment. But since they both serve the same basic purpose, to transport or to move, they are essentially the same. They're certainly very similar. Likewise, when it comes to the upper and lower worlds, they share a common purpose of hosting the Shechina. Therefore, everything contained in each of these worlds in some way contributes to that purpose. Similarly, both the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash were constructed to be a dwelling place for Hashem's Shechina, and also must possess all the components necessary for the Shechina to dwell there. Although the external appearance was very different, each one's essence was the same. Rav Pinkus points out that although Hashem, as it were, dwells in the Shemayim, resides in heaven, he seeks primarily to dwell in the lower world, in our world, the world of men. After the Chet of Adam HaRishon, however, Hashem would rest his Shechina only in the Mishkan that was constructed by Bnei Yisrael specifically for the purpose of being a resting place for the Shekhinah. And so when the B'nai Yisrael also committed an Avera and proved themselves to be unworthy, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And Hashem was forced, so to speak, to return back to Shemayim. But his desire to remain, it remains to be, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to once again rest his Shechina here among men. There's another object of creation that shares the characteristics of the earth, the Shemayim, and the Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash, and that is, of course, the B'nai Yisrael. The Shechina desires to dwell with man, who is a microcosm of the world. In fact, the Zohar illustrates that each component of the Mishkan is contained within man. More importantly, the individual man represents the ideal place for the Shechina to dwell within. By observing all of Hashem's commandments, a man sanctifies his entire body and actually becomes a Mishkan Me'at, a small dwelling place for the Shechina to be. And this is the meaning of our pasuk, who says, "They shall make me a Mikdash, and I can dwell among them," rather than in it. Right? It's a famous idea. Make me a Mikdash, I should dwell with them, as opposed to in it. The wording of the pasuk teaches that the ultimate purpose of the Mishkan is for the betterment of man. The Mishkan teaches us that the Shekhinah resides in a place of Kedusha. If an individual sanctifies himself or herself properly and performs all the mitzvahs to his or her best ability, then he or she becomes the Mishkan, so to speak, and the Shekhinah resides in him or her. Further, the seemingly superfluous extra phrase of "you shall do," further in our parak in pasuk test, also teaches us that the outer aspects of the Mishkan and its kelim are to guide us towards proper behavior and understanding through Hashem's design, applications, and the messages. By absorbing all of these, we can become prepared and worthy to have the Shechina dwell within us. And the pasuk conveys this message that you shall make yourselves into a Mishkan, and that I can dwell within you, and make yourselves everything that you want. Again, that comes a little bit later in the parsha than our pasuk, but I think it's all Rav Pinkus' point is well attenuated to our point here. As we continue the very, and in the Midrash, the last couple of sets here, and I apologize for the late hour, but I think it's an important concept, so I wanted to keep on it. Lamalan Naita Shemayim Kiriya. Above, and Shemayim is described as a curtain, as is written, stretching out the Shemayim like a curtain. This is a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, it's Perek Kuf Dalid. Lamatan Esra Yirios. And below, in the Mishkan, was covered in curtains. As it says, you shall make the Mishkan with 10 curtains, as we see further on in our Parsha in Perek Chavav. Lamalan Unohira ima shari. Above, Shemayim is light, as it says, he dwells light, lights with him. This is the pasuk say for Daniel, Eric Beis, pasuk Chav Beis. Lamatan Shemen Zayis Azach Sis Lamaur. So here below in the Mishkan, we had the pure pressed olive oil for illumination that was kindled continually, that we see later on in the Perek Chav Zayin. So now, having shown the parallel between the earthly creations and Shemayim, the Midrash concludes, "V'lo od ela shechaviven kol ma shelamaten mishel malad." And so, moreover, not only did the heavenly creations have a parallel here on earth, but that which is below is even more precious than what was above in Shemayim. Te delach shehiniach ma lamalan. You should know for a fact, because he left behind his abode, which is above, and descended into this abode, which is below. Shneamar, as it says in the pasuk, "Vayasu li mikdash shebechanti b'seichem," as it says in the pasuk later on, Perek Chaf Hey, "You shall make for me a mikdash, so I can dwell within it." This is in pasuk Perik, our Perik, Chav Hey Pasuk Ches, make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell among them, as we mentioned previously, based on our Pinkus. Haviki Ko B'Shemayim U'V'Aretz, and this is the meaning of yours, Hashem, is with even everything in Shemayim is also here on earth. We go back to the Pasuk and say for Divrei Hayamim, Perik Chav Tes Pasuk Yir Aleph. That is, all the creations of earth are parallel to those in Shemayim. And the Midrash continues with the wealth and honor to come from you, from Hashem, that Vayomer li hakesef li the zahav nuum Hashem tzvakais. And all this says in a similar vein, mine is the silver and mine is the gold, the world of Shemai, Hashem, master of legions. This is the Pasuk of Sefer Chagai, Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches. Again, it's a lot here. The whole point I wanted to bring out, I hope I brought out to somewhat justice, the idea that Hashem gave us certain things that are mitzvahs that we need to do, certain things that are required of each and every one of us, the specific contributions to the building of the Mishkan that we have in our parsha, as well as the voluntary, the things that we want to go above and beyond to do more than what's required, as in the voluntary truma that we have spoken about in the very beginning of our parsha. Give from what your heart desires. Do go above and beyond. Do what Hashem wants you to do. It's a message for each and every one of us. We know what we need to do. We know what we can do better at. Go above the letter and do more. And I think, I hope, and I pray that by doing so, by going, not only doing what's required, but going a little bit above and beyond, doing a little bit more than what we think we is just the bare minimum, doing what's necessary, doing more mitzvahs, teaching more, learning more, davening more kavana, whatever it might be for each and every one of us to do just a little bit more, it will help to bring the Geula Shleima that much faster. And it should be Hashem's will that that we should not be in the state of flux, the state of not knowing what's up, what's down. The world is so crazy right now. Again, not to get on a tangent any further, but what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, in the terrible war that's going on there, but also what's going on with the war with all of our neshamas everywhere around the world. Everything is upside down and backwards. I don't care about where you are politically. I don't know, make one difference to me whatsoever. If you look at the world and see A plus B should equal C, not A plus B should equal D. It doesn't work that way. Everything is supposed to be in order, but we see that the world seems to be so much in chaos, so much in flux. We have to understand, we need to do our part to make the take out of the chaos and make the order by doing the mitzvahs we need to do, going above and beyond the simple letter and doing everything that we can to bring Hashem to fulfill his promise that he made to our forefathers to bring Mashiach to Kenu v'mhira v'yaminu. I wish everyone a good Shabbos. Zayge benched.